हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhagavad Sandarbha Adhyayana 3 Adhikarna 4. The form of Bhagavan is the highest tattva. Page 86. Okay. The commentary says, this verse states that the Lord's mercy, by the mercy, Lord's mercy alone, do you attain anything? You will realize, Anubhava, what I desire, Manishita, you to realize. What is that? You will see my planet. Nitya vyaktopi bhagavan ikshyate nija shaktitaha. The Lord who is eternally invisible is seen by his own shakti. Narayanad yatma. Okay. Here. So, yeah, from the Bhagavatam verse. Seeing my planet reveals all knowledge. Also by my mercy, you previously heard of my instructions when you were all alone and performing the greatest austerity. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.22. Because you remember in Brahma's realization that he saw Goloka. Yeah. Right? Because in Brahma Samhita it starts with that, how Goloka is and everything. So that seeing the planet reveals all knowledge. Because the planet itself, you can say the existence of it, the planet, the things exist and all that. That aspect is the Sandini potency. So that'll be dealing with the knowledge. Right? And then from that, because of devotion, when the Ladini and Samvit are combined, means you're using your intelligence and senses in the Lord's service, then Sandini reveals everything. Right? So when Sandini and Ladini are combined together, then Sandini reveals everything. So that's the thing. As you see here, is the first thing you think is the place. You know, just like in the Dhyana, you see the place. You see Vrindavan, you see the Kalpa Vriksha tree, you see the throne. Then there's Radhan Krishna. Yes, yes, yes. And then their associates. Right? So that's how it goes. So you see Brahma Samhita starting with Goloka. Yes, the spiritual world, Goloka and all that, then within Goloka and then going with that. And then getting to Govinda. Right? And then you're starting Chintamani Prakata. Yes. You're starting with the Dham. Yes. So it's always starting. That's why I said the dust of Vrindavan can give you prema. Jamuna can give you prema. Giriraj can give you prema. So you're starting with the Dham. Because you're having the pastimes, you have to have them in a place. So that place is revealing the Lord. Why? Because the Lord means you're going to have pastimes, you have to have that in a place. So it's the place that will reveal. So that's why there's so much respect for Vrindavan and Mayapur and for the qualities of that. So it's not just a place. That's what special is. And then to appreciate the Dham, he says, everything is by His grace. Mm-hmm. The verse stated, by the mercy alone do you attain anything. Mm. So even the materialists only attain what they attain by Krishna's mercy. Mm-hmm. Right? That's all. It's only by Krishna's mercy does that happen. And so for the devotees, then that becomes very easy, because it's through devotion that everything is revealed. Because you're trying to get to the platform of prema. So as the Lord reveals Himself and reveals devotional service, then it becomes very nice. Right? For the materialists, they have to mechanically work very hard in the area of the mechanics that they want. Right? Because they're working on karma, so it has to be exact. You know, it's just like, let us say, you know, like give the example. The child comes up to, you know, some person who's running their own shop, right? It's their shop. And he comes in, he wants to get something. Let's say some flowers for his mother, for Mother's Day or something. And so he comes in, but he doesn't have as much money as required for what he wants to buy. Right? But if the mood is right and the whole like that, then he's going to get it. Right? Because of the attitude. But you have somebody else come in the shop, you know, very sophisticated, this, that, they want this, this, this. They have to pay the money. They want some extra things. Can you do this? Can you do that? Yeah, but it'll cost you more. It's not thrown in for free. You know, because the attitude. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is the karmis, it has to be exact to the letter. Right? And doing that for a long time, then they get this really good karma. But it's by the Lord's grace. Because they're worshipping Krishna according to the Dharma. Right? They don't understand the Dharma necessarily, because everything has its nature. That's Dharma. The laws of nature are Dharma. Right? We don't necessarily think of them that way, because we're used to the idea that religion means ritual. Right? What we have to do, and then what we're going to get. But the ritual is based on what? The nature of something. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say you want to train the horse. But how do you deal with the horse? Right? According to the laws of nature. In other words, the horse has a dharma. And you have to deal with the horse according to that dharma. You don't, it won't work. You know, you get out a stick and throw it and say, fetch. It's not going to work. Right? It won't work with a cat either. Dog, yes. You know what I'm saying? So it has a nature. And so that nature, that's dharma, that's religion. So that's why the topmost religion is prema. Love for Krishna. That's the topmost. Devotional service. That is the topmost religion. Right? Because all these religious processes just means these are the way Krishna has created things. This is the way he likes it. You know, it's the way it is. And so then everything has its nature, inherent nature. And so, why? Because it's all there for Krishna's pleasure. Why does Krishna create things? But for his own pleasure. Right? And then the living entities, by using this dharma in connection with Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure, then they can express their devotion, and Krishna reciprocates through those same dharma. Like it says, when Krishna comes to establish dharma, because people are not following it, the first point that he's coming is to protect the devotees. Like that. To punish the demons, that's going to happen on the side. Right. Does that make sense? Like, I remember I was reading this one article back in the 80s. It was from some martial arts magazine, you know, and then it was kind of, everything was kind of new and that, and they're just talking about all these different schools and that. So there were these two friends, I think they hadn't met for a long time, because one had been away, I think, business or in China or something like that. And so then they met, and they were at, let's say, I think they were at a pub, right? So they met there, and then they're starting to talk, and then somehow or another, this one guy gets very upset with the friend who had just come back. Why, you know, it doesn't seem to be, you know, the guy's drunk or something, and it's something stupid, you know, didn't like the way he looked, or, you know, whatever it is. So, the two of them are talking, and this guy is coming up and attacking him. And the friend, without breaking the conversation or even basically eye contact with the friend, keeps doing, and he just takes the guy and does some funny thing that spins him around, and he ends up sitting on the floor. Right? He doesn't hit him or anything. And then the guy keeps doing this many, many times, and each time he's doing something else and he ends up in a different place. And they just keep on talking. You know, and after a while the friend asks, where did you learn all this? You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's just part of the conversation. So you have two people that, let's say, you know, no martial arts, then it's just a part of a conversation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, if people are into cars and you go out for a drive.
Yeah.
You know, people are into food and you get something to eat or cook something to eat. You know, you're into nature, you go out and walk in nature. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that it's used as a medium for relationships. Mm. That's the whole point, right? Mm. That's the only purpose of Dharma, is relationship. Because unless you work with Dharma, you can't have a relationship. Otherwise, what's the relationship based on? Right? It has to be on some natural law of the material nature that you're working with. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? That's just how it is. So it can't be something else. But the thing is the problem comes is that we don't actually one is that you see people nowadays don't even understand that the Dharma is for relationships. So they're getting the objects, they're getting the money, getting the facilities, getting the house, but not actually cultivating relationships. They get a house, but for what? They get money for what? They wear nice clothes for what? You know, they wear nice clothes. If anyone tells them they look nice, then it's, you know, why is, you know. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the difficulty, is that there's no real appreciation or understanding. Right? So that's just on the mundane platform. The spiritual platform, I mean, so on the mundane platform, someone's more religious and more understanding of these things than the culture, then they have better relationships on the material platform. But these are originally there for relationships connected with the Lord. Because devotees are still going to interact with devotees, but it's based on the context of their relationship with the Lord. Right? So all Dharma is meant to serve Krishna. That's why Krishna is saying, give up all religion and just surrender to Him. Because people follow the religion for the benefit they'll get from the religion, rather than using the religion to surrender to Krishna. So that's the meaning, give up all religion and just surrender to Me. It means all your activities, all things on the body, mind, and words are used simply for Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, That's the thing. So he will realize because Krishna desires. You're worshipping in devotion, then Krishna being pleased, then he reveals. You know, he does through his energies, but that's how it works.
So when Brahma, he recited the Brahma Samhita, means a person who knows about Goloka, he knows about everything.
Yes. Yeah, because otherwise how would you know Goloka and not know everything else?
Yes, huh? It's included.
It's included, yes. That's the whole point, is that when you, let's say, yeah, because it is the original formula, everything else is expanding from there. Like I was listening to this lecture Prabhupada's giving on Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he makes the point that Goloka is the original planet, shaped like a lotus. And then from that planet, that's where the Brahma Jyoti expands. Because, you know, we always hear that the Vaikuntha planets are floating in the Brahma Jyoti. So where did the Brahma Jyoti come from? Doesn't say the Vaikuntha planets are producing their own. Doesn't mean that they aren't, but they're still floating in the overall Brahma Jyoti. And then they each individual planet may be producing its own. But the point is Goloka is producing that. Why? Because inside is Krishna. Krishna is producing the Brahma. Does that make sense? So when you have Goloka, that is the source of all the other planets. Because then when Krishna expands to Balaram, Balaram expands to Sankarsana, Sankarsana to Mahanarayan, you know, because Vasudeva, because the Chaturvyuha then expands to Sankarsana. Right? Because you have to set the situation first. Then there's Mahanarayan. Right? And then from Mahanarayan you get the next Sankarsana, you know, that Chaturvyuha, then which that's Dorka Krishna. And then from Sankarsana there expands then Mahanarayan. Does that make sense? So then you see is that all these things are happening coming from Goloka, and in Goloka coming from Braj. Right? Because from Krishna is coming Balaram. Therefore, you have the all the chit and what do you call it, the chit and sandini potencies are there, because he's the lord of, you know, Singha. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Something a little bit not related, but I was asked that if Brahma is the creator, and it's mentioned like this, then in other scriptures they say that Adam and Eve, they produced the living entities. How can we reconcile that one?
Where did Adam and Eve come from? It's just like, let's say Brahma creates the Prajapatis. Prajapatis then create, elephants. So does that mean with each elephant, as they're reproducing, Brahma has to be involved? You know, he's sitting there, you can do it, come on. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Adam and Eve would be on the level of Prajapatis, or not necessarily?
No, the point is Adam and Eve are there. They're not the ones necessarily producing anything. Right? Your line is coming down from. Right? So in other words, you're establishing that particular, you know, Malecha line. Because that's the whole point that's there, is that by eating the apple means they're taking on that external identity. The bodily identity. Before that, they didn't have that. They were just servants to the Lord. They would move with the Lord. But after that, then they are seeing that and then they're covering themselves. So it'll say cloth, this and that, but it specifically means upadis. Right? Does that make sense? You also heard the same kind of thing? Yeah, okay. So I'm just saying, this means the rabbis will explain that when they get into it. If you go in for the study, then you'll get this explanation. If it's just a regular discussion, they may not. But, you know, that's the thing. So they're covered with upadis. So then all they are is the ones that started that Malecha dynasty there. Why? Because previously, then one of the kings in India, then he was killed by some Malechas. And so the son then did a Malecha yagya. You know, just like Parikshit Maharaj was killed by Kakshika, and then his son, you know, Janamejaya, grandson, because Abhimanyu then Janamejaya, then he did a snake sacrifice to get rid of all the snakes. So when he did the Malecha Yagya, that means that age, whenever it was, because it was sometime before, it may have been in either Dwarpa or Treta. So it was sometime before, and so he did this Malecha Yagya, so there were no Malechas on the planet. Right? And so, and in these other ages, Satya, Dwapara, and Treta, there's no problem. You know, there's no Malechas, you know, who cares? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're in, yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. So, then the problem comes as you're coming up to Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, you need Malechas. If you only have Aryans, you know, gentlemen and educated, then how do you function? So Kali needed Malechas. So therefore, he took that aspect, that the snake, and, you know, and brought out that material consciousness. And once they had the material consciousness, now they're not qualified to live in that more exalted environment. Right? So then they have to leave that environment. Right? So before that, you see, they moved with God, their food was vegetarian, things like this. And then once they were, you know, asked to leave, now being Malechas, now it's, you know, if it moves, it's fair game. You know, does that make sense? So the verses are there. You've seen? No. I'm saying about they were vegetarians before, and then after, yeah, because it's only in the original Torah. In these newer Christian, you know, translations, they've removed those verses.
Yeah, because it says food.
Huh?
It doesn't say meat. It says food.
Food, yeah.
Also, I heard Maharaj, they said they started 5,000 years before only.
So yeah. No, this is very recently. Because it goes back to, it says it's only 5,000 years ago. So it goes back to that time, because then you have, what do you call it? you have that whole point is that it's there, they're in the garden and all that, and so it's mentioned that that area is, you know, where that area is, and, you know, everything, there's a history of that tree, you know, it's just like there was a king, he became, you know, from the citizens, took on so much karma, they became black, so then the Brahmins do a yajna and they take out that sin, they have to put it somewhere. So in this case, they put it into this tree. And so then, you know, everybody stays away from the tree. You know, it's there in the garden, just everyone stays away from it. But then somehow the Havyabhati, she didn't know, or she got tricked by Kali. And so then, so they take on the karma. Because you see in there, she took the fruit and she asked, you know, I say, Adama to also eat the fruit. So then they're taking the karma from that previous king. Now they're qualified as malechos. Right?
Which Purana says that?
Vavishya Purana. Vavishya. Now the fun part is that after this, because it's right there in the Old Testament, is now Adam and Eve, then they leave, right? And then, so if we're taking it, they're the only two and this and that, and the origin of everything like that, then they have two sons, right? Cain and Abel, right? And then they grow up, and they're, you know, of marriageable age. Who do they marry?
Pagans.
Yeah, but where did they come from? It means they were already there.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? But they were already there. So this is the fun part. Now, you have the start of the line, right? And then these two, the first, you know, I mean, you have Adam and Eve, so then whatever it is, God. But then they're two sons, then they have to get married. So who do they marry? They marry Goy.
Hmm.
Right? And you're only Jewish if your mother's Jewish.
Oh, came later.
Came later. Yeah. So the point is, if you look at it, there's already people there. There's villages. They marry to a local village girl. That means it's not even just there's one or two. There's whole villages of people, and then from that, then they, you know, choose appropriate people, and then they get married. So the whole point is this idea is that no, it's so that's just how the Malecha line started for Kali Yuga. Because otherwise there weren't any. And you see this from that line, that's basically, you know, the major, you take Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, you know, they're based on this line.
Yes.
And they're a huge, you know, amount of the planet.
Yes.
You know, they're the ones that generally drive everything for what's going on in the world. You know, and having set that all up and all that, then the Asians come in and make money off of it. You know, but that's another thing.
They probably come in from the snake.
That's also possible. Yes. Yes.
Was the Yajna only against Malechas or Yavanas and Shadaras?
Well, you start with Malechas, and then from there you can get Yavanas. You know, it's just like if you have some dough, you can bake bread, you can make, you know, different kinds of things, focaccias, you can do different things with it.
Who were the villagers with whom Cain and Abel?
Yeah, well, those are probably the Yavanas. Because in that area, because they would be down around, you know, how you say, they're coming from, where is the Caspian Sea? Right? So then the Kasyapa, that's Kasyapa's ashram, that area. That's how it's Caspians from Kasyapa. Then they head south from there. So I'm not sure what's south of the Caspian Sea. That means I don't know the area so well. I know it's there, but.
He knows geography.
Huh?
We don't.
Yes. He means as you have the Mediterranean, you get around to the eastern side. I kind of know that area, but you know what's north of that? Like, because the Caspian is because you have two: the Black Sea and the Caspian, right?
Yes.
One of them's farther north, and one of them's farther south. So the Caspian's the lower one, right? So that's like in Turkey or something.
Yeah,
on the eastern side of like what's now Turkey and all that.
According to modern history, in the area of Caspian, there are Hunas.
Where?
Hunas.
Hunas. Yeah, I mean, well, they came there later. The Hunas came in later. Because, you know, they went from there all the way over to Mongolia, no? Yeah, but they came in and conquered there. So it's, but that area, then that's where your Malechas and your Yavanas are from, because it said that, you know, your Pulindas.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So it's starting more up in Greece and came down to Turkey. Mm-hmm. Because it was one area. It means you have Greece, and then I think the Aegean Sea, and to the east of the Aegean, on the eastern side of the Aegean Sea, then you had that's where the original Greeks were. And then there were some also on the Greek side, but most of them were on the Aegean side. But then at one point, that kind of disappeared, and that became, you know, the Turkey kind of scene. Mm-hmm. And then that's why there's always this interesting relationship between Greece and Turkey.
Yes.
And I think Cyprus is half Greek, half, you know, they're each claiming it's theirs, because originally the people in that area were the Greeks, but it happened, the landmass that is now present, you call it Turkey. So each one claims it, because yes, it was from the people that were here, but those people were Greek. So like that, you know, it goes on. So that means they would have been in that area, but then what Abraham would have been in Ur, which is, you know, where the Euphrates and Tigris come together.
That's Egypt.
Hmm?
That's Egypt, no?
No, it's Iraq. Yeah. No, that was Moses.
Yes.
Moses is happening out of Egypt. Yeah, that's the funnest. You can't keep up.
Too many things.
Yeah, yeah. So that's there. So that's farther kind of south and east. So if you come out of that eastern side and go down, then you'll probably end up more over that side. So it'll be kind of that area, because next to Turkey is Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
That northern part up there, then, you know, there's some common area that's not, it's maybe... Only means controlled by those countries, but the people that originally lived there are not of those people.
Yes.
I mean, those are the Kurds.
Yes.
Yeah, the Kurds are there. They're a different people. They're not Iraqis. They're not Turks.
Yes. Yes.
Right? They're just another people. So, you know, they would have come down from there and from there gone, like these kind of things. So it doesn't really matter. Point is that people are already living there, and now they are then starting this whole new line where you have the Malecha mentality that before you didn't have, and then from that then you can start these religions based on this Malecha culture. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes, Malecha simply means meat eater. That's all, right? So they were very, you know, how you say, very comfortable with sheep, right? Sheep, goats. You know, it's just this, if you can herd it, you can eat it. Right? So that's the whole point. Because before that, they weren't meat eaters. And that's why you also see is because it has to be quite far back. Is that those first patriarchs in the Old Testament, they're living 600 years, you know, 900 years. Yeah, so they're how much?
999.
Was Abraham?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so they're all born at that time, so this must have happened just within the end of Dwapara. So people are still being born and live that long, because then you see they're that old, and then after that they're living a little bit less. So it's coming down, so it's just, you know. And then it comes into the regular 100 years.
Means a flute described in the Bible was in the border between Dwapara and
Eve. Yes, yes. I mean, it's this whole point of Adam and Eve has to be at that time, because you only need Malechas in Kali Yuga. Right, so in a sense, so you have to start it then, and you don't wait for it to start. You mean, if Kali's going to start, he wants to start with a bang, right? You know, he wants to start already having his Malechas. Not that he's there now as Kali, where are my Malechas, and running around and stuff like that. So he's already going to start it at the end. Like you see, it's not Kali yet, and already Duryodhana and that are already having that mentality, that Kali Yuga mentality. So then, you know, it comes in very nicely. Because if, like, you have that the Kurukshetra battle, you know, 640 million Kshatriyas and you know, other, you know, warriors are killed, then what's going to be the direction of the planet after that? It won't have that same religious stand as it did before the battle. So now it's ready for Kali Yuga. You know what I'm saying? So just everything's arranged, and then you know, Kali Yuga will go, and at the end of Kali, then Satya will start again. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's always arranged, just like the two kings that will start the Satya Yuga up are already present. Now.
Can we maybe find them?
It mentions the village they're in.
Kalapa.
Kalapa. Yeah. Where it is, it might be up in Uttarabhadri, you know, so it might be a little hard to get to. You know. But they're there. And they're just, you know, doing their sadhana and everything like that, and then they'll be the ones that Satya Yuga will start up with. Right? You know, just like then you had that king, can't remember his name. Then from him started the sacrifice for Treta Yuga.
Pururava.
Yeah. So then from him started the sacrifice of the Treta Yuga. So like this, it's always arranged, it's always managed, because it's the same thing. You know, it's just like, let's say, you being a cook, then you have, you know, different preparations. So each one of those has a recipe, right? So if you're going to cook a particular preparation, you need those ingredients. So those ingredients will be arranged. As a cook, you'll arrange the ingredients, right? Does that make sense? You know, so it's the same prep. There's always, by Kalpa Beta, a little bit of difference. You know, you always make a little bit of, you know, this time putting a little more cinnamon, a little less, or you put in this or that, or just put sprinkles on top or not. You understand? You know, so like that, you make some variety. But it's still the same prep. So that's why you'll see Kalpa Beta in the Vedas, where in one Kali Yuga, it'll be mentioning one thing. In another, it'll be a different one. Okay, does that make sense? So they're not always, they're describing, let's say, Parikit Maharaj in that pastime with the Bhagavatam and Takshika. That's happening. But sometimes, how the pastime unfolds is different. Like that. Someone was saying the other day that we're in the 28th cycle, but there was one thing in Bhagavatam was explaining, but the Acharyas said that was from the 24th.
Ramayana.
Okay. This Ramayana. Yeah. Valmiki. That's from the 24th. So that would have been, you know, how you say, four Treta Yugas ago. Not this one.
Yeah,
or that's the, yeah, it means in the cycle, right? The 24th cycle instead of the now we're in the 28th.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So yeah, and there'll be 1,000 of those in a day, right? 1,000 cycles in a day of Brahma. Yeah. So we're in it would still be within this. Yeah, means in this series, you know, that we're in, because it's 72 in a Manvantara.
Yes.
And so, you know, if we're in the 28th and that's in the 24th, it's still within the same Manvantara. Right? So it's basically the same. So it's not like a different, but you see they talk, but in that then it's different. And in there, then from what I remember is Jambavant. Because he's a Chiranjeev, he's been around since time immemorial. He'll live for the life of Brahma. Right? So while they're arranging the bridge to get to Lanka, then he is very ecstatic and he's explaining how in previous how they got to Lanka. Because you have to get the army to Lanka. But how he got it to Lanka. So this time they're building a floating bridge from rocks, you know, from the mountaintops, you know. like that. So each time it's something far out. So then if that's there, then the even more fun part is you know how they, I think by satellite imagery, they've found that kind of rock between Rameshwaram and Lanka.
Yes.
But that means it goes back four Treta Yugas. It's not from this time. It's not just a million years ago. This was, you know, four would have been 16 million years ago. But the fun part is they only see up to Lanka. They don't see from there down to the actual Lanka. Because that place is here, is the place of the Sinhalese.
Yes.
So it's not actually Lanka, but it's called Lanka because of that whole pastime. But it's not the Lanka that Bibhishan's sitting on.
But he's doing too much for the scientist.
It's too much. Like the other day,
maybe down the Antarctica somewhere.
No, it'll be above. You notice that it's one of the biggest oceans is the Indian Ocean, because between Africa and Australia and the North Indian, Indonesia and all that, and then Antarctica, it's a huge area. So down there, because it's 800 miles. South of Rameshwara, right? Because he has to jump that far, so 1,200 kilometers. That's the point. In one jump, can you do 1,200 kilometers? Delhi's 14. That would be, here to Delhi in one jump. So, that's where it is south. But Vibhishana has the benediction that in Kali Yuga people can't see his place. Otherwise, they're just going to harass, right? They're going to want to come there and make a resort, right? Five-star hotels, isn't it? That's exactly what they're going to do. So
Dubai.
New Dubai. So he's just going to, so by Krishna's grace, they can't see him. So Lanka, then they take that as Lanka and everything. So they're noticing the bridge on that side. They're not about to look for it on the other side.
And every Dvapara Yuga, when Krishna comes, Jambavan forgets that he came in a game sign.
Jambavan or Hanuman?
Jambavan, he fought
Jambavan. He fought Krishna for the Samantaka Yuga.
Oh, maybe. How that works is just, this is how it happened this time. It's just, the point is that it's the same main pastimes, but there's always variety. It's just like, let's say you have friends and they like to play a particular game, right? They like to play cricket or something. But every time it's the same rules, it's the same game, but every time they play, it will be different. Does that make sense? So in the same way is that there is the pastimes of the Lord, and so they're the standard pastimes because they're so good. And each time there's going to be a little variety because of the internal potency. Right? So it doesn't matter when it was, the chronological, these things absolutely have no importance or value. The important thing is the Lord, because it's unlimited. We can't understand unlimited anyway. But we're demanding to know with our intelligence and this and that. But you can't stick unlimited into a limited space. It doesn't make sense. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's why it doesn't matter when it was. You just know that this is the setup and this is how it works. And which one? It'd be just like this. Let us say you have, just take the same thing, the cricket wallet. Okay, so you have somebody who's been playing cricket for, the last 50 years. And like that. Let's say they've been captain, they've been this, they've been, all these things. So they're related. Now, let's say they're talking to some people to interest them in cricket, and the questions will be asked and things. Now he's going to give examples. Where is he going to give example from? Right? So in 50 years, how many games has he been in? Right? Hundreds and hundreds of games. Maybe even thousands. Right? And so then he's going to give an example from a particular match that what happens there is in line with the point being made or the question being asked or like that. So it's not that he's just going to give example from one game. He might give examples from 10 different games that are, you know, spanning over that 50 years. Does that make sense? So the Shastras, when a question is asked, then Parikshit Maharaj asks a question, then Sukadeva Goswami is going to answer that. But he's going to answer with the particular pastime that that will naturally be the best example to establish the point, you know, about what's being asked. Does that make sense? So that's why it doesn't matter the chronology. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm trying to establish a point on how you hold the cricket bat, and I give an example from a game, how somebody, you know, held it properly and they got this result, you know, they knocked it out of the park, you know, like that. Unfortunately, that's a baseball example rather than the cricket example. But it's a sixer, right? Yeah. So then another thing about how if you don't hold it properly, then he'll give from a different game.
Yeah.
You know, and how that worked. You know, in the one game that was, you know, how you say, you know, India in Australia, but in the second one, it was about, you know, how you say Pakistan in England. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter. All it is that what's being example. But if we say no, but which one was first? What does it matter for? You know what I'm saying? So the problem in modern history is simply it's chronological. That's all they have. Why people are doing, what's the they don't know, they just speculate. But the Veda, they can tell you why they're doing something. Right? Because it's coming down from those people who know. Well, here it's just after the fact. Somebody writes something down and then it becomes important, so then they write down the things. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know. So it's just, you know, it's just like, let's say, the example, you know, Marie Antoinette about let them eat cake, right? So he said the people are hungry, so let them eat cake. So it's generally taken in the context that she was so snooty that they don't have food, so let them eat cake means, you know, they get nothing. But she only partied. That was her, what she did. She just had parties. And so there's, and in the parties there's going to be cake. And so if you're hungry, you eat cake. So when they said there's no bread, so there'll be some bread there, but there'll also be cake. So her thing is if you don't have bread, eat the cake. So in her mind, she was trying to give a solution for the people starving. So you can't see her in a bad light. But they'll put it that, oh, let them eat cake, as if it's kind of like, you know, it's some kind of aristocratic thing looking down her nose at the compi. Her thing was, is just, you know, when you go to the buffet, and you want some bread, but there's no bread, then you'll eat cake. You know? That was the whole thing. So these are the things that then Shastra will be able to give. What's the mentality? What's going on? What's happening there? And then we see the commentary of the Acharyas. Then they'll give the proper understanding. You know, it's just like Pingala is there. We see about how she becomes self-realized. But then the Acharyas comment that previously, there was also the story of Dattatreya, right, in the same conversation. And then it's pointed out that Dattatreya came and asked from Pingala if he could spend the night in her garden. Because being a sadhu, he has no place, so he just wanders and happens, I guess, be been dusk at that time, so he asks if he can just, you know, stay there. And she, you know, the mood and attitude of her respect for him was very nice, and he gave the blessing. Therefore, she became self-realized that evening. Right? But from the commentary, you see the mentality, you see the mood, you see why it wasn't, it didn't just happen. But the point is therefore, by the grace of saintly persons, then you come to the platform of self-realization. Right? And so then you see from that, anybody, it doesn't matter what their position, then if they get the blessing of saintly persons, then it can work. Right? So that's the... So we are able to see this. Otherwise, common people won't know these things. You know, it's just the general public won't know, the historians won't know. All they know is the facts. At this time, Marie Antoinette said this, and at this time, she lost her head. You know, and that's basically all you know about her. Right? She was married to Louis the 16th. She said, let them eat cake, and she got her head cut off. Do we miss anyone? You know what I'm saying? That's what people will know her for. Like Napoleon. Napoleon, then he had a hat with three corners on it, and he stuck his hand in his coat. But if you look at pictures from that era, all aristocracy stuck their hand in their coat. It was just considered to be culture.
And many had that.
Yeah, and George Washington wore one of those three-cornered hats. It's like, you know, everybody. I think Paul Revere wore it. Right? Everybody wore those. But somehow he's famous for that, that, you know, he's weird, he does this. But at the time, everybody did that, but, you know. So that's the thing. It's just people get known for something. That once I saw, I was impressed with it. It was a one volume encyclopedia. You know how normally encyclopedias are huge, but this was one volume, and in that it had, a description or whatever. What do you call it? You know, where it talks about a person and their life and all that.
Biography.
Of all these people, all the famous people, but it was only in like one small paragraph, and that small paragraph was exactly what people will remember from that person, nothing more. So I was so impressed that they, you know, what scholars sat down and just went down and condensed it down to like that. So you had the whole encyclopedia was only, you know, one volume. Because otherwise it takes, you know, they're like, you know, 15, 20 volumes in the encyclopedia.
Real money, huh?
Yeah, yeah. No, so I was impressed with that, you know. So
generally, Maharaj, when you study your master's, at that time when you take in arts, history and all, that's how they describe, like every person this much. Every time we read only one paragraph, like so that you know everything.
Because that's all you'll ever need.
Yes.
You know this idea, oh, did you study this for this long? But that's all you'll need. So that's the fun. Is that, you know, you want to study modern history and this and that. You only need that much of everything. So basically, in one term, you could teach the whole world history. You know, all details, all personalities, everything. So, yeah. So the whole point is that the kalpa beta is because it means you're simply giving the example that best fits the question, the person, the situation that's there, everything like that. So it doesn't matter the time frame. So in modern history, they get so much into the time frame, but the actual importance to what to learn from it, that they don't care. Historians aren't known for that. You just know that they did this and that, and they mention things that are different from what they do. You know, is that, you know.
When we went to Rameshwaram, there was this pujari in the Lord Ram's temple. He mentioned that the glory of Rameshwaram is mentioned only in 3 out of the 21 available different Ramayans. Like Hanuman wrote a Ramayana, Jambavan wrote a Ramayana, Vyasa wrote, Valmiki wrote, like that. There are 21 versions available right now.
Oh, wow.
Only 3 of them mentioned Hanuman's, Valmiki, and one more is everything.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Or Vibhishan also.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Is that where you get all the Ananda Ramayana and all those?
Yes.
Those
Ramayana.
Okay. Yes.
So this Bhagavatam which we are having now, is it from previous kalpas they are mentioning?
Does it? Means is it mentioning from previous kalpas or is it
the Bhagavatam itself which is written?
See, Bhagavatam itself is an eternal literature that is there on Brahma Loka. So there's the Bhagavatam personified there in the court of Brahma, right? And the Puranas themselves are 4 billion verses. The 18 Puranas, 4 billion verses. What we have now with the 18 Puranas is 400,000 verses. Not really very comparable. Do you want to continue with your question? You understand? What does it matter? The essence of all the teachings within the Vedic literature is in the Puranas, and within the Puranas, within the Bhagavatam, and within the Bhagavatam, then as spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. That's why they say it becomes more sweet when it's touched by the lips of the parrot, the beak of the parrot. Is that the Bhagavatam is actually huge, because Bhagavatam simply means the pastimes of the Lord with the devotees. So that's huge. You know, so 4 billion verses, that's just, you know, just giving an idea. That's what they use on, you know, Brahmaloka, you know, higher planets. But we can't deal with that. You know, we have enough problem with 18,000 verses. You know what I'm saying? So Bhagavatam can be millions of verses, but, you know, we're given 18,000. So the most essential, because you have to speak it in 7 days. So what better reason to have to cut it down to this size than that you have 7 days to speak it in? And then that is what's written by Vyas. Because he said he's spoken the Bhagavatam to his son, but that doesn't mean it was only 18,000 verses. Like that. So how much he spoke, these things don't matter because it's the essence. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you need to fill up the tank of your car. Right? And your friend went and filled it up. Right? And he comes back. Now you have a full tank. And now you guys can go on your tour, you know? Like that. But then you start grilling your friend. You know, okay, at what speed was the petrol coming out of the, you know, out of the machine, you know, like that? How much noise was it making when it was going in? What were the decibel ratings of the petrol coming out, going into the tank, you know, like that? And what does that matter? How does that affect that you have a full tank? Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that we get into things that actually don't really matter. So what does it matter which kalpa is from?
As because Mahabharata mentioned different first time of Parikshit Maharaj living, Bhagavatam we are reading.
Yeah, but the point is we're following this one because the mood of Parikshit Maharaj is established in the Bhagavatam. Mahabharata is simply bringing out him as a king. Bhagavatam is bringing out him as a devotee. So what does that matter? Is that controlled by time? You know what I'm saying? So if that was this kalpa, then it could be like that, but if it was another kalpa, it couldn't be. Because only in certain kalpas you can be a devotee, right? Isn't it? Only certain days of Brahma, within certain days of Brahma, certain manvantars, within certain manvantars, certain kalpas, only those you can be devotees, because devotee, you know, bhakti is controlled by all these material considerations, right? No. Bhakti is independent, so what does it matter? If we know, we say it, oh, it's just something interesting. So we hear, oh, that's from the 24th. Nice, but it doesn't make any difference on the pastime and the importance of it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we have to see is where these things have value and where they don't. Otherwise, we get too much into this, you know, facts and who saw it and who this, but who saw any of this stuff? The point is, there's this, have you heard the saying that history is written by the victors? Yes. Who won writes the history. Does that mean that's how it went down? You know, it comes out their people were glorious. Yes. You know, it's just like this. When you have a war, right? One side wins, one side loses, right? Now, the side who wins, in the they write the history. In the history books, who are the heroes? Them. You know, and so therefore, there are people going out, blowing up this and that, killing so many people, that's they're glorious, they're heroes. But now the enemy doing exactly the same thing. Like, they just say, the country that won, they write the history how their man went in and blew up the parliament in the other place, and because of this, then the whole, you know, how you say, military, you know, kind of, how you say, program kind of fell apart, and this way then they had the advantage, and so they won, so now is he a hero or not? Okay, yeah. But now, what about the guy who tried to blow up their parliament? Now he's a big demon, and this and that, and, you know, there'll be a whole case, you know, like this, and, you know, public trial, and then, you know, public execution, all these different things. So it's just, and then we're saying, no, we want facts. It's kind of like, who are you kidding here? It's totally subjective. I mean, like, totally.
It's a very shocking experience. This is a very shocking experience, this idea, because I remember we studied something in Russia, and then coming to Israel, it was such a shock. Who won the World War II?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course it was the Russians. It's kind of like, they were over on that side. It kind of happened on the other. You know, it kind of happened over in Normandy, you know. But St. Petersburg, yeah, you know. I mean, it all held together, of course. Because if he hadn't broken down like that, then he didn't listen to his, you know, he went crazy. He didn't listen to his generals. Then after that, he'll make more and more mistakes.
My grandfather couldn't take it because he wasn't the war. Just couldn't take it.
Yeah, no, it's each one, you know. And then in America, of course, it's the Americans. And if you're in England, it'll be Churchill, right? You know, and of course, everyone like that, and it'll be the French, right? You know, the French resistance. You know, they'll be the ones riding around on little bicycles and all that, and they won the war. You know that 13-year-old girl, and you know, from that village in southern France, so that, you know, she did that thing that set off the whole thing, but no one understands it. And, you know. Yes, so that's the problem, is that the modernist based, everyone's talking about they want facts, but what facts? Based on what? You know, they say, oh, we did this test on 139, you know, how you say, test cases and all that, because it's done according to the academic method, so it's science, but that's, where did you get those 139 people? They were people that were willing to come forward. How did you choose them? You just put up a notice and they walked in. You know, so somehow or another, so they have a similar mentality. So naturally you'll get a certain result. Well, if you tried a completely different demographic, you might get a completely different result. So that's the thing, is that everything is subjective. Everything's personal. But we're trying to make it out as if it's very academic and impersonal and just facts and this is the way it is. But it's actually, everything that goes on is simply because the jiva is a person. And he's a person because Krishna is a person. So being expanding of Krishna, therefore every living entity being a person, they act in their own personal way. And anything that's common, that's because that's the laws. That's the dharma. So humans have a dharma, animals have a dharma, the jiva has a dharma. Like the jiva has six qualities or seven qualities that are inherent in the jiva. So compassion is one of them. So even animals, you see they have compassion. You know, how, what will make it come up in that, you don't always know. But you do. You see some animals saving other animals. You know, stuff like that. Or, you know, consideration like that. Like someone told me that wolves, you know, these, you know, out in the wild, the wolves, it means they'll catch and eat anything. But a pregnant woman, they won't bother her at all. They can tell she's pregnant. I don't know, the whatever it is, how they tell, they will not bother her. They'll kill everybody else, but they won't bother her. You know, so it's just, you know, so there's these moods in that. And they can tell, they can understand when somebody's feeling bad or this or that. They know. Because that's eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these things, that's what they know. They just don't know God consciousness. So as far as all the moods and flavors that are there in society, the sentiment and the caring and sharing and community, the animals have that. Just that different animals are for tasting different degrees of that. More sense of community, you know, then you end up like, you know, how you say, you know, bees or ants or termites. You know, I mean, there's community, you know. You know, organization and all that and things, but, you know, on your own, do your own thing, you know, like that. Then you see the lions, you know, like that. The lioness is on her own. They get together, have children, then she's on her own. You know, so it's, you know, and you see that in society. And so that's how it all comes down. So that lady there who's very independent, raises her own children, doesn't want to deal with anybody like that, next life she's a lioness. You know? So it's obvious, just directly you can see. So that's the whole thing, is that the whole everything is because they're a person, and being a person, that's what everything works on. But we're trying to, you know, be, you know, very, how you say, sophisticated and impersonal and all this. But it's the reason we're trying to be sophisticated and impersonal is because of we as a person. Our particular feelings and what, how we want to present ourselves, our identity, you know. So it all comes down to, because everyone's a person. And so then the history will be like that. So they'll be, and because they're conditioned, it will be flawed. Seeing potentially imperfect senses, you know, it'll have all these faults. So that's why then the Shastra is perfect, because that is being established by those who don't have It's all coming from the Lord. The example of the great sages, and so then the Lord, you know, instructs them, you know, gives them direction how to speak and how to deal, and then they establish everything. So that's why this is real history. The other stuff we call history and all that, what about, you know, history is, it'll change. That's why that one, you know, and it's understood by some individuals, that's the way it works. That was one of the themes in 1984. You know, in Orwell's book, is that the government, then they have a good relationship with the country. Then in the history books, it all talks about the glory and the past and this and that. Then the politics change between the countries. They reprint, rewrite, and reprint new history books and now show how they're bad and we never had anything to do with them and this and that. When it was just like, you know, hey, just, you know, 6 months ago, then they were allies. Now they're enemies. So they rewrite everything to reflect that. So that's the difference in the Shastra. You don't change it based on modern things. That's why Prabhupada didn't want to change anything. Sometimes devotees want to change. Oh, Prabhupada said this and people won't accept that. No, that's today. Tomorrow they will. You know? Today, what's so special about today? As if today is like the people are at the epitome, you know, of what do you call it? You know, of development. It's kind of like, you know, what are we talking about here? So that's why we don't change anything. That's why it's as it is. We won't change. And then you see sometimes the soft preachers, they want to change everything. And then something happens that changes. And then now they're thinking, we're up to date. But something changes like that. And then you are out of date. While someone is preaching the straight philosophy, they're always they're always in the present. You know, then you need to develop your expertise so that you are able to present it according to the audience. That you have to develop. But the knowledge you don't have to, knowledge stays the same. You know, the fun part is these technical things that we're reading here, you know, listening to these lectures from 66, you know, Prabhupada's saying exactly this stuff. You know, like that. You know, just as technical, just as everything. But, you know, the examples are so nice and that, and the mood and the pleasant, you know, how he speaks. Like that, but it's the same. Same.
Yes. In fact, when we analyze history of religion or history of philosophy, it can help us to, some trends there can help us to forecast what can happen in our own tradition.
Yeah. It is there. You know, it's just like with Socrates, because he's preaching there's an absolute standard. In other words, there's Dharma. And then the sophists are around and they were preaching Vox Populi. It's just whatever the mass of people say, that's truth. Right? So Western philosophy, Western culture is based on what the mass says, that's truth. Especially if you're dealing with bourgeois culture, because it's about economics, which means about the maximum of people buying things, right? Because you need volume. And so, therefore, then whatever the people say is a good thing, that's what you sell. You know? And so they got rid of him because that goes completely against their philosophy. So this whole principle is that if you're not careful, that you're going to oppose the absolute truth based on the contemporary values of the persons at the time. Do we not have devotees trying to do that now? You know, and they're thinking they're up to date and doing the latest, newest things. What do you mean? That's 3,000 years old, that technique. You know? And who remembers any of those sophists? And who remembers Socrates? So that's the thing. So that's the whole point, is that it has nothing to do with, so it's always like going to be like this. So I remember, I think it was Devamrita Maharaj, because in university he had majored in history, and he said that there's a joke amongst those who are history majors that the only thing you learn from history is no one learns from history. That's the only thing. You see it every time. When the king doesn't care for the people, something happens and he's not king anymore. But each time the king thinks, no, I'm different. I'm more powerful. No, it's just you don't take care of the people, then it runs out on them. It's just every time it's like that. So that's the whole thing we just need to appreciate is that history, why does it work the way it is? Because there's a dharma to it. There's a dharma to the material energy. And you follow the dharma, it works nicely. You don't follow the dharma, it does not work nicely. Does that make sense? So the point is Bhagavatam and the Puranas, these histories are there to show you how people have brought their life in line with Krishna consciousness. And to say, oh, that's an old example. It doesn't, it's the same thing. You know, the needs of the family are exactly the same now as they were before. You know what I'm saying? In technical detail, that's something different. Like before, maybe they needed a cabbage and now they want a broccoli or something. But, you know what I'm saying? But it's the same thing. They need food, they need shelter, they need medicine, they need care. That doesn't change. What the detail by the modes of what food and all that, that's because you have 8,400,000 species, and so then they have the opportunity to try to taste whichever one they like. But as far as the principles go, it's exactly the same. That's why you can read, let's say, a literature from before and relate to it. You know, the Iliad, the Odyssey, Beowulf, and, you know, Chaucer, and all these kind of different people like that. It's another one, really old one. I think Gilgamesh. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where is that from?
Mesopotamia.
Okay, yeah, Mesopotamia is the place we talked before, where Ur is and all that. Yeah, so it's just... So that's older than the Iliad. You know, so they still relate because it's personal dealings, this, that, what's happening. You know, certain things around them may be different. You know, how people are fighting, what they're eating, or what they're dressing, but still the human element's exactly the same. Because it's the nature of humans. Does that make sense? So Bhagavatam is showing how that human nature, you can apply it to Krishna. So there's no such thing as a Vedic example being old. Because you say it's old, it doesn't happen anymore. That's what he means. It's already happened. You know, how you say... You could say even not 1,000 times in the day of Brahma. You know what I'm saying? So... Is that current or not? If something happens 1,000 times in your day from 6 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night, 1,000 times, would you consider that's going on or not?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So. That's a lot, no? If something happens once in your day, and then the next day it happens, it's like, whoa, what's going on here? 1,000 times a day, every day, you know? Yeah. So good. Good. Okay.
Well,
so yes.
I have a question related to the beginning about the Vrindavan means Goloka and like that. And can you develop the difference between Vrindavan and Mayapur?
There's no difference.
Some devotee mentioned to me that there is no difference, but Mayapur has been expanded or created from Srimati Radharani.
Yeah, I mean, she expanded it for Krishna's pleasure because Krishna was talking about how he's going to come as Lord Chaitanya, taking that mood and everything like that. So I think one time then Radharani came to see Krishna. He was at Imlitala, and when she came, he was golden instead of black. You know, he was golden color. And then she's wondering, and then this and that. Then you know, somehow or another, there's always an origin story. Why? Because you're in the material world. It's just like in the same thing as then does Krishna not have a Sudarshan Chakra in Vaikuntha? Because we see that Agnidev gave Krishna the Sudarshan Chakra. Like in Vrindavan pastimes, you don't see as a Sudarshan Chakra. So that's the thing, is that because in human pastimes, you like to look at things by time and space. Therefore, that concept is used. because it's fun for the pastimes.
Yes.
You know, it's like we mentioned before, is that you have incidents where Louis the 14th, you know, at Versailles, that, you know, huge grounds like that, and so many nice gardens and that, and I think they have deer wandering around and everything like that, that he and, you know, his consorts and you know, the you know, the close group, they would dress up as cowherds and go out and have a picnic out there and, you know, probably talk in rustic language and, you know, and eat rustic food and, you know, and of course it's cooked by their best cooks, you know, like that. And it'll just be that snack, you know, it doesn't mean that that's dinner, right? But they'll go out, it's fun to go out and play like that. So that's the thing, is that that's the point, is Krishna doesn't have anything to do, so it's fun to do stuff like this. Just being God and being the Supreme isn't as fun as taking on as if you're just ordinary, you know. So that's why the human pastimes are the origin, they're the top. Then from there you get all the other, because in human pastimes you'll have that aspect of majesty, so you just increase that and then you get the higher. So that's why, like, Goloka is, it means Vrindavan is the origin, like that. But the point is Krishna with Radharani, or Krishna in the mood of Radharani, then you're dealing with the same place. So maybe you have a different place where it's situated, you know, within, you know, no time and space. So they're non-different, but they're different. Otherwise, what's the point of them? So Navadvipa will be within Sweta Dweep. At the same time, Sweta Dweep also means the whole thing, you know, or it can mean that general area, or like this. And so, but this idea that there has to be a time frame, and Radharani's expanded from Radharani. But the point is if she's expanded Vrindavan and she expands Mayapur, why would we think that they have to be different? So that's why Lord Chaitanya went to Puri, because Navadvipa is Vrindavan. And so it means separation that's there. So therefore we see from the scriptures where the pinnacle of separation is Kurukshetra. Because there Krishna and Radharani are not in Vrindavan. So you don't have the situation, you don't have everything. Because if it's Vrindavan, it's just a matter of some little tricks and you can get, like, Krishna could take the gopis off and speak to them separately. But it's still within this environment of opulence. Well, if it's Vrindavan, they sneak off and then they can have their rasa dance and everything like that. So here it is, you're with Krishna, but at the same time you can't interact with Krishna in your, you know, fully in your rasa. So that separation is even greater than just Krishna's not there. Krishna's there, you interact. Krishna's not there, you don't interact. That's straightforward. But when the person's there and you can't interact, it's just like, let's say, the boy and girl, then, you know, somehow or another their love comes to such a pinnacle that they want to express it to each other. But they can't get an opportunity to be alone to discuss that. All they're in is these formal situations where the family's there and family members and that, and they're on one side and one's on the other, and they see each other, they want to speak, they can't speak. That's worse than just he's in his place and she's in her place, because you know you can't speak. But here, you could speak, but you can't. So therefore, that's why he goes from Navadvipa to Puri, because Puri is Kurukshetra. So you can really experience separation there. While in Navadvipa, it won't be as much. It'll only be as much as in Vrindavan. So, therefore, this difference and non-difference is there. So you can't too much. You don't want to make too much this distinction. So they say, oh no, it's completely... You don't do that. Like, those from Mayapur don't make such a distinction between Mayapur and Vrindavan. Many from Vrindavan like to make more of a distinction. The Prabhupada points out is you don't do that. Like Krishna and Vishnu, you don't. It's Krishna. He's just in that mood of Vishnu because of the situation, the devotees, and the activity. You know, it'd be like saying the high court judge is not that friend that you know at home. He's the same person. It's just that in that situation. Yes, you can't deal in that way, but it's still the same person. So Krishna as Vishnu is the same person. It's just the mood and all that then has a different environment. If we make too much of a distinction, then too much of a distinction is dwaita. And that's exclusive Dvaitism. No, it's different. That is exclusivism. Mm-hmm. No, it's just one. It's one, but it's different. Otherwise, why is there two different names, two different pastimes, the mood, the flavor, mm-hmm. Madhurya, Audharya. Mm-hmm. Right? Audharya, Madhurya. Okay, now if you say Madhurya, you say, oh, and then Audharya is just... But Audharya means compassion. Mm-hmm. Karuna. So you see is that sometimes that compassion is translated as lamentation, but otherwise it's just being kind. Yes. Right? Karuna Ras, which is also known as Madhurya Ras. Then it's that compassion, that whole mood that's there. So compassion is the central element of conjugal rasa. So how are they so different? Yes. You know, you try to make it as completely different. It's different flavors of applying, but it's still the same thing. So they match very well. Yeah? Very simple. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.